issue for many people.
But I think staff understands the direction well.
Great.
Can you explain the, or talk a little bit about this, the new chief operations and program officer position?
Yeah.
We currently have, Chris is currently the COO and the CFO. There is not a lot in the COO bucket, but there are some. And with his responsibilities are increasing on the, what I sort of now say is the finance and facilities side of the house. We sought some input from, you know, foundation experts about could we, combine the chief operations and the chief program officer role, and that'll be about 25% of the chief operators. The chief program officer, for all intents and purposes, is running the sort of philanthropic side day to day. It's a companion piece to Chris, who's running the finance and the facilities side on a given day to day. And so that's what it's meant to be.
Do you see that as possibly part of what the consultant that you've recommended for looking at philanthropic and foundation things? Because that seems to me to be something that ought to come out of that scope of work, a recommendation for
And you're one step ahead of me. That is her recommendation. She and I have long talked about what the potential structure would be, and I reached out to her and had that conversation because I was concerned. I did not think that we needed a COO full time. I was concerned about the amount of time that Chris has, and with the fact that we're in year 21, that is increasing. And so we talked about foundations have often done that model and combined them.
So the consultant that we don't have yet is advising that this is the structure that
as somebody whom I know, when we were getting into a discussion and a dialogue about what the scope of work would be, I indicated this was my thought to combine those two. And I asked for that opinion as we were talking about that. And she said, well, I certainly would be evaluating your org, past, and I'd be evaluating your org chart, and I'd be evaluating the job descriptions. And I said, I've written all of that. And she said, great. And I said, I have a question for you. I'm gonna put this on the org chart because I think this could be a good idea. It was mine. And she said to me, how much money do you give a year? And when I gave her that, she goes, oh yeah, it's quite common.
So this would be funded out of the foundation?
Chris?
Well, that was part of the FTEs that would come from the district because it's running all the programs, overseeing the programs of the people below that position.
But if the foundation becomes primary entity.
That's a no.
Why couldn't it be?
Well, they'll be running those programs as well. But, I mean, certainly some of it could be funded by the foundation, but I mean, this structure, the way it is under the overhead of the district.
So we need to look at that.
But as far as some of the, we always do some allocation being based on whether it's foundation or district. So there's some allocation process that is, some of the overhead is allocated to the foundation in the plan and the budget that we'll be looking at.
So right now it's partly district, partly foundation because of the allocation.
Right.
So these dates that you have here are your target when you think those should be brought on? Is that what those?
Well, that's really because we would not be doing any recruiting or anything. That's really date of start recruitment unless the board directed us to do any recruitment before. We don't have, I've drafted the positions, I've drafted that. We'll have a consultant look at them and then they'll go through F&A. So we put it at the beginning of the fiscal year that we would start recruitment. And start recruitment means you, you know, examining, you know, the job descriptions and all of that.
So is there any overlap in responsibilities between the chief operations and programs officer and your senior program officer?
No, because this person is leading that effort, just as Chris leads on the finance side, and the senior program officer, they'd be running specific programs. This person oversees, directs. We had a conversation. What's the question?
The specifics of it are a little confusing for me. I mean, I'm seeing it obviously for the first time, so I'm not exactly sure.
How could I clarify?
I don't know.
Let's have a private conversation and get back to it.
A couple of things. First of all, this makes sense in terms of a three-year strategic plan being the vision. I don't know that it all has to start next month or the month after next. For example, you said the health policy analyst is probably going to be funded by an outside foundation. Does that mean if it doesn't get the funding, we're not going to have one?
No, but I'm also being prudent with what I say publicly, but that will be paid for by a private foundation.
Well, since strategy goes to budget eventually, I would make a contingent on outside funding. I think that the director of communication and marketing we should have had yesterday, and so I very much think that that needs to be done right away. The other changes I think need to be kind of phased in over a year or so, somewhat dependent on what happens with the expansion of the district. What this does is it puts another person between you and all of the program activities. And again, that we might eventually, as we become one Coachella Valley and, you know, increase our budget by 50 or 100%, it might very much be appropriate. But I don't know that we need to do it as of July 1st.
Okay, I will, we'll have the discussion that you just said, because there have been some conversations that have occurred before you were elected on the board, and conversations that occurred about sort of how the role was going to work and the role of the CEO and how the house was going to get managed. So I'm only saying that in response to your responding without having the benefit of conversations that occurred in
I can only respond that way. I can't respond any other way.
Right.
We'll go through it. We'll have that discussion with these concerns.
But one question, a second question is, how much additional money in the district, how much additional district funds are you then asking for in July or soon after, and where is that going to come from?
Okay.
You've answered the policy.
You've seen it in the draft budget. I'll ask Chris to go through it.
No, it doesn't have to be specific, just in general.
Okay. We're responding, and in responding, you have seen it. Chris will respond.
I mean, presently there's no additional property tax revenues, anything like that, currently supporting. It's kind of the philosophy is, okay, to prepare for the potential growth, expansion of programs, services, etc. You have to create an infrastructure to help support that. So, to your point, there's no additional income or revenues per se to accommodate this, but it is accommodated in the budget to where, as you've seen, it's essentially a break-even budget where we have shown some profit in the past. So.
Could I ask Mark if you have any thoughts or questions? We've had a lot of conversations about this within finance administration the last several weeks.
Yeah, I don't want to challenge our CFO, but our beginning cash is $57,750,000, and our ending cash for that fiscal year is $55,000,000. that's a difference of a, you know, several million dollars.
Because the retirement.
One just retirement.
Because moving funds into the retirement fund.
No, no, no. I'm talking about the proposed budget for next year.
Oh.
17, 18. I'm not talking about the last year's funding.
Well, we can go through that.
Unless
I don't have it in front of me.
I mean, I'm just. So I jumped to that because there is a significant change in staffing, which in some of it makes a lot of sense, but these are the kind of questions I think we probably want to work out in a couple of meetings and figure out what's going on. And I also agree there may be a timing on when these come on and whatever, but I'm just trying to understand the concept.
Right. Did you have a comment?
Yeah, in the beginning of the meeting, Murphy mentioned that there's a difference between the policy document and the budget document. I'm not privy to the budget document, but just looking at this from a policy perspective, I'm picking out dates, but just the structure on top of all the things that you're talking about as far as the vision, the strategy, priorities, this seems to me makes a lot of sense, and it seems to me that you could carry out the ambitious goals that you have with this type of structure.
Well, thank you. I mean, I was just going to comment. I mean, that's in the work, and I've had a lot of conversations with various board members. The issue is the vision, and the issue is best how to carry that out. There was a scenario, which I would never put before the board or the public, that was 6.5 positions to meet what you have agreed to in the strategic plan, but specifically in the vision. So this was very prudent, and this was a discussion that I've now had with several folks about several positions. Whatever the board would like to do in terms of phasing and that sort of thing, it's going to take time to hire some of these. This is minimal to carry out the vision that you have for the next 15 months to get you through the East Valley expansion, to get you through all of the things before you. So I think that that's worth thinking about in terms of doing that. And do you want, for example, no, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Go ahead.
When standing on the precipice of massive change, it's very exciting to look at something like this. Could you perhaps speak to some of the reservation that has come forward in discussing this? This is an unprecedented doubling of the district staff that has not happened in the past. So I'm just curious if there was any feedback that was from the staff, from any community members about that growth?
There has been a huge discussion over the last 6 months with the board, individually, together, and with the community about the vision and about what it takes. You're only talking about $300,000 or so in terms of an organization that has about $55 million in reserves. What you're talking about is a transformation. When I came and interviewed for the job, the discussion and the focus that I had was around wanting the district to go a different direction and what was the vision for that direction. And so people can disagree, and it's the board's ultimate policy decision about how and when you do this. This is the result of several months of let's be prudent and figure out what are the most critical pieces to achieve what the board's vision is.
I understand that, sir. That wasn't my question.
Okay.
My question was about the reservations that were raised during this process toward growing at such a clip.
There were not reservations raised.
Not a single reservation?
Not in the conversations that I've had. I had some people say, well, that's a lot for the district. Talk to us about the board's new vision. What does that mean? And from my own personal perspective, what I've been talking about as responding to the board has been the same thing sort of day in and day out. So I have people say, yeah, that's a lot of growth. I've had many conversations with Director Matthews about that amount of growth. Director Matthews said to me originally, well, that's sticker shock. And then we sat down and we went through the budget based on the policy. So I think if I err on one side, some people said, go all the way, do 6.5. No, no. So this was done listening, learning, hearing, answering questions to propose. At the end of the day, it's the board's decision as to what it happens. But this is a very prudent budget, and you seem to want something
else. I simply asked if there was any reservations expressed.
Yeah, very little.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more comments or questions?
Okay, so we have next steps. Aligning the strategic plan and the budget. So after we go back and we make these changes the board has asked for, that the community has provided input in, we will bring it back to the June meeting. And at the June meeting, once you consider and if you approve the strategic plan at the June meeting, then you will immediately review the budget. The budget is going to go back to the F&A committee with the revised draft of the strategic plan at its June meeting, which is what, the second Tuesday of the month. The development of the implementation plan, including staff responsibilities, that's something that Bobby talked about. That would be a document that both our current consultants and a consultant to be considered at a later meeting will be working with the board on it, should they approve the strategic plan or in what version they approve the strategic plan. And then we will then work with the board to create a monitoring process to review the progress, to look at and measure the outcomes and to go from there. So I'll hand it back to you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
The part of the budget that deals with grants and the priorities that have been set, the four main priorities, how do we determine, or how is it recommended that one bucket gets more money than another bucket, or vice versa?
We recommend either at the June policy meeting or in the budget that you prioritize how you want to spend that $4.5 million, or if you change the number in the budget, that's up to the board. That's policy, where you want to put buckets. They change all the time, generally, from what's put in there, but that's up to the board.
But isn't it sort of a ongoing dynamic process that the board sort of sets some priorities, and then the program committee looks at the requests that have come in and the quality, and they might, even though they want to fund something, say, in primary care, it may be that there's three really great grants in behavioral health or something like that. So why even set budget amounts for the different buckets?
For the purposes of budgeting, and that is what Chris tried to do at the F&A committee, you have to have numbers in there. If you keep to the process, that then you can ignore those numbers. So you either have to say, okay, it's $4.5 million, I want $4.5 million times divided by four, or we're just putting numbers in there to guide the activity and then use the process.
Okay. Or, I mean, in the past we've done it in a bunch of different ways. I mean, the board can either not assign dollars by category, can just have grant bucket or line item, and let criteria guide as the process goes along, which we might want to do this year since we're going to have a consultant taking a look at that process and maybe providing some guidance into how that ought to find its way into an allocation strategy, for instance. Or, but I mean, we really can do it and have done it in a wide variety of ways. One year we did an RFP. And the board set aside, Chantal, you might remember this, we had $2 million, or I can't remember, $1.5 million for preventive care.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and so it can go a wide variety of ways. I mean, to your point that it really, you know, you might have, this year you might have started that way, but it might end up, you know, as an unallocated.
We will do it whatever yeah. way the board wants to do it. There was an issue that came up at F&A and the staff was not making any recommendation about what amount of money. The method used was to put it in by the CFO to balance the budget. And so any way you want to do it, it can be done. It can be done. And we are going to make recommendations, as you know, outside of this in terms of governance, and that will enter into that. Right.
Mm-hmm. So the consultant that's going to come in and take a look at the philanthropic side and structure and process and grant making and can that be part of the scope, part of the specific scope to provide some either insight into best practices?
Sure.
Or, because I think that would help provide some direction for those allocations. And we've talked in the past about maybe returning to a criteria-based grant process where, you know, it was either competitive or timed or a wide variety of strategies are, you know, some efforts to pursue an RFP, some set aside for reactive grant making, some set aside for innovative grant making, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is that going to be part of what that person looks at and
It is now.
And also how to deal with grant requests that come in that don't quite fit into the four
exactly.
buckets,
well, that's,
but maybe it's such an incredible idea that none of us ever thought of, you know,
that's yeah. all part of it.
Yeah.
Good point.
Thank you.
Any more comments? May I have a motion to adjourn?
Before we adjourn, I really need to acknowledge all the work that's been done by our consultants, by our CEO, by staff. It's
really
a tremendous amount of work and it's very impressive. And it really wasn't over a very long period of time that all the work was done. So I think we need to acknowledge that.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody for being here. It's helpful and appreciated.
The comments especially.
Yeah.
I move me adjourn.
Thank you.
I second.
Aye.
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 Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.